front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you. All right, here at Badcamp, we're going behind the screens with Rick Manelius from DrudTech. Hey, Rick.
How's it going, Chris?
Very well. So how are you liking Badcamp so far?
Pretty good turnout this year. I haven't been in as many camps as of late, but it's always nice to see this one strong at least 1,000 plus. I mean, very good energy here.
Yeah, I agree. And so what's happening with DrudTech right now?
Well, we've been in sort of silent mode for the last few years, really building a lot of tools and tooling for developers. And this is kind of our coming out party. You know, we were just present at Drupal Camp Colorado a few months ago. And this is sort of our first big splash, as well as All Things Open next week. And we're really trying to get end user feedback with our sort of our first release of products.
Well, what sort of products do you have coming out?
Our first one is called DDEV. It's actually made for to make local development easy, to basically plug into multiple front ends. So WordPress, Drupal, will eventually have support for Typo3, Magento, etc. And also to plug into multiple backends. We want this not to just be a tool that works with us and our products, but for, because we know that our customers and our end users sometimes have multiple hosting options, and we want it to sort of plug in to both the front-end CMS world and also back-end hosting providers and make that a seamless process for those needing a local-based Docker environment.
Aha, so kind of taking the, all the, for me, Docker's been a really big challenge to try and get set up and get working, especially on my Mac.
Yes.
So you're taking all that hard legwork out of the way and sort of putting it together into a more easily manageable, like I could set it up and go without having to learn how it works on the back end so much.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, like a corollary to the Drupal community, right? Drupal core can do so much, and with a contribute can do even that much more. But a lot of people only use a fraction of what Drupal can provide, especially, you know, some of the lower end, you know, site building sites. And a lot of people just need to know that it just works. And if they need to get behind the covers and see things, they can. We try to abstract away all that sort of, we kind of glue it all together for you so that way out of the box you can get up and running in minutes. And for the advanced user that really needs to go back and tweak things and modify it to themselves, I mean, it's an open source project. You can add PRs, you can tweak things, you can extend it in the way you want. Hopefully you can contribute it back, but you don't have to. And for those that really want to take Docker to the extreme, they can, but it helps try to help the use case from just the person who just wants something to work and get up and running with Docker fast to the advanced power user that wants to really modify and really push Docker to its limits.
Awesome. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to find out more or participate in the project, where would they go to do that?
Well, everything is on our GitHub account. So github.com/drud was the company namespace, and then /ddev. And obviously hit us up in the Drupal community Slack channels. We're very active in those conversations. File some issues or, find us that way.
Very good. Now, let's just say hypothetically that this was all done. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow you woke up and the product was out and it didn't need any more work. What's your pet project? What would you work on your own if you didn't have to do the work right now?
On my own, if I didn't have to work for the company? I don't think the work is done. I think the sort of the holy grail is developers being able to spend as much of their time developing, building, designing, creating, and less of their time working on the things before the work. And that's kind of like a big driving force for me is if you look at the culture of the web and software engineering space, you have a lot of people having to spend a lot of their time after hours keeping up, continuous education just to keep up with where the industry's going. And that can be very stressful. And, we are human beings and we need to have, free time. We need to be able to disconnect from all this technology. And for me, I still think there's a big cultural shift that's needed in a space where we can disconnect. We can sort of put things down. And we have interests outside of our 9-to-5 jobs, but it's not required to keep up with things. So I think my pet project would not necessarily be technology-wise or software, but more trying to help companies realize that they can get all the things they need to get done, and then still have meaningful lives outside of work.
That is a very noble cause, and it's something I completely agree with, and I can sympathize with that. I'm lucky enough to work for a company that supports that same mantra and gives us the time to
you know, be human, to be ourselves, to be a person,
yeah,
and still get the work done. And honestly, when you take that time for yourself, the work gets done quicker and and better.
Yeah, it's funny. It's the whole, like, you know, technology. It's like the flying cars, you know, in 20 years from now. Technology is supposed to be this grand thing where all the machines are going to do all the things for us, and yet there's more technology, and we're doing more things with the machines, and we haven't really met that nirvana that we're looking for. And I think proper workflows and tooling. I mean, the promise of DevOps is, you know, through the CAMS, you know, the culture, automation, measure, and systems, that you can spend 90% to 95% of your time creating value, working on the hard problems, and not all the firefighting. And unfortunately, the reality is, if you look at the DevOps survey, the Puppet survey, et cetera, I mean, a lot of people are adopting those and becoming high performers, but a lot of people's workday is still 30 to 40% of the time, based on their actual studies and statistics, you know, triaging, break fixing, and so forth. And that's just not a way to work. I mean, it drains on you morally, it drains on you, like, energetically, and, you know, there's a better way to do all these things. So we hope to be a part of that solution with the stuff that we're doing. And just, I mean, because again, we want people to be excited about their work and not just saddened by the fact that they're not able to get to their work.
Right. So if you could give one piece of advice to somebody who's, you've had a long time in the industry now, and you're helping to run this company, one piece of advice to somebody who's maybe struggling with that idea, where they're just constantly pounding their head or trying to get into the right space.
So I think the thing that, I mean, I'm an engineer, so part of the engineering mindset is I have to figure this all out myself, or I have to be, you know, the best and brightest in the room, because there's this sort of competitiveness. I feel like there's a fear. Imposter syndrome has been a big term that's been described in this space, in the software space, for the last 3 to 5 years. It's become more common. I feel like it's still not embraced as much as it should, because, frankly, there's too much out there for any one person to know, and we have to lean on each other, and we have to be able to say, like, I'm a novice at these things. And even if you're a very senior level person, you have to just say, I don't know everything, I can't know everything, I need to reach out and lean on friends, colleagues, and other solutions to fill this gap, as opposed to trying to figure it out myself. And I think myself and others I've seen try to drown, trying to learn it all, be that expert, and that is, again, a very debilitating thing. I would say my advice to anyone starting off is be open, be vulnerable earlier, and those that have sort of are a little bit further along the path will actually respect that more, because they've been there, they've been burned, and in just that openness and this honesty that you show up with is really, I don't know, it's really necessary to have, like, open dialogue, as opposed to, I'll figure it out and then I'll work an all-nighter and burn myself out and doing that over and over again.
Yeah, and I think what you said about the imposter syndrome, it can be very intimidating for us to ask for help from these people who maybe their names we see all over the place.
Yes.
So it's getting past that. It's not being afraid to ask. And honestly, once you do that and you realize how open and receptive the community is, it's a game changer.
Yeah, and we're actually, I mean, just to speak to the Drupal community as a whole, I think one of the problems we have is we are a very maturing community. We've been going for, 15 years now, I think, at Drupal. And the challenge is we still respect the elders of the community, the people who have been here 10 plus years and have done such great things, but we need people who are ready to sort of infill and help sort of be the next generation of those in this community to do that. But it's hard when they feel imposter syndrome. They'll never be the CHX, the Randy Fay, the CyberSWAT, the Mosh, there are some of these names that they're so big, they're intimidating, and they need to not be that. They're just people. They love to be there. The energy that you'll feel by walking around the conference hall from those people, they're very approachable, and you could be that as well. But if you feel imposter syndrome, you're never going to take that chance. You're never going to contribute. You're never going to, like, show up and give a talk. I mean, we've had people at my company that have been doing development for 8 years and think that they still don't have anything to offer at a camp. It's like, and they show up and the community embraces those contributions, and they realize, like, wow, I actually have a voice to share, a thought to share, something to give back. And I think that's huge.
So let's take this one step further now. So you live in Colorado, Denver area.
Yep.
Which is a very outdoorsy type of get back to nature area. So what do you do to get away from the work to let your brain rest?
I love, I used to do a lot of sports. I used to do track, soccer, ultimate frisbee, and all those things. Unfortunately, I have an injury. I broke my foot, and I have 6 screws in my left ankle.
Oh, man.
So my doctor said cycling is the only thing I can do safely. So, man, I love road cycling. There's a lot of great races. out in Colorado. Unfortunately, one of them this year was canceled. It's called the Triple Bypass. It's 120 miles each way, about 10,000 feet of elevation gain, starting in Morrison and ending around Vail. And it is, I mean, it's just gorgeous. I mean, to have all these mountains all in this, just a very, kind of like Drupal, a very vibrant community of cyclists. And the thing about cycling is you can just really just zone out and just enjoy the beauty of nature. And yeah, I mean, I'll do 80 miles on a weekend just because it's fun.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Finally, is there anybody that you would want to thank or share some gratitude towards who might have given you a push or a little help along the way when you needed it?
Well, like I mentioned, Greg Knadison, just a phenomenal individual. I mean, tirelessly helping the Drupal security team. Even when he sort of passed the baton on to Michael Hess, who has also been phenomenal. I mean, security ain't easy, and security ain't really prioritized or appreciated as much. I mean, even through like the Drupalgeddon and all those other things. And Greg, even though he's, you know, helping run a company and really, I mean, he continues to give back to the community years after you'd expect him to sort of, you know, retire and be able to kick back and enjoy things. So big props to Greg.
Very good. Yeah, I've met Greg on a number of occasions. He's also a local Denver guy, and yeah, I'll agree. He's a good member of the community, a real special guy.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, Rick, thank you very much. This has been great.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
If you're looking to level up your Drupal chops, check out Drupalize Me. Drupalize Me lets you learn Drupal whenever and wherever you need to, with written and video tutorials that cover the full range of Drupal topics. Whether you're just jumping into Drupal or you're a seasoned developer, we are here to help. Check us out at drupalize.me. Thanks for listening to this episode of Behind the Screens. If you have any ideas for future segments or topics or any comments, reach out on Twitter at VoicesBTS or shoot me an email at chris@lullabot.com. Don't forget to pop onto iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. Until next time.